This is Insight on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Time for the uplifts, plural, today. First, Grass Valley Center for the Arts. It was about to reopen in March after an expensive and exciting renovation. A weekend of shows and gatherings had been planned. And we talked with Executive Director Amber Jo Manuel on March 13th. That was the day of the center's first event. It also became one of the first days of the COVID-19 shutdowns. So Amber Jo is on the phone with the rest of the story. Hi there. How's Grass Valley?
We're doing good. We got a little rain, which always makes us happy in the foothills.
So what happened to all the celebrations that weekend, Amber Jo?
So our performance on March 13th ended up also being our last. So immediately shows began to cancel and shift. And we shut down right after that show. And it now looks like we have no performances through the summer. We are hopeful to have some performances in the fall, but like everyone else, we're waiting and going day by day.
However, coming up June 4th, this Thursday, you actually have a virtual annual meeting and a way for people to kind of get dinner to go. What's happening?
We do. This is an event that we do every year, and it is typically in person, and it's a fundraiser with a fancy dinner at the theater. Well, this year we're doing it differently. It is virtual. It's going to be via Zoom, and you are able to either buy a ticket for $1 to attend and hear the meeting. You could also have a meal delivered to your home. You could also do curbside pickup and get your meal picked up at the center. So we're all going to enjoy a nice traditional meal together, a glass of wine, and hear about the center's plans, our plans for the future, how we are pivoting during COVID-19, and how we plan to continue to bring the arts to the community.
Tell me how you're feeling in light of the funding of this big renovation. Everything opened up, and now there's such uncertain footing for groups. Are you optimistic? Are you concerned? Where in the spectrum are you?
I think it depends on which day you ask me, Beth, because I've definitely been up and down. Everything has been changing so quickly. Just as soon as we think we're going to have a show in July, it disappears. And when we think we're going to have a show in the fall, it disappears. So you build up hope, and then it kind of goes backwards. So we're looking at how are we going to get through this tumultuous time? How are we also going to be of service to the community? The arts are the kindling for the economy. So how are we going to help and do our part to reboot the economy? And we're looking at what we can do to help our community heal. It's been a tough weekend for all of us, I think, and the arts really are about empathy and compassion. So we do have something we can provide in times of crisis. Hmm. So we're looking at how we can continue to do that, regardless of whether or not we have a big show to put on. We have to get through it. We have to all help each other.
So this Thursday, 5:30 to 7:30, everybody is invited to the Center for the Arts virtual annual meeting. And if people jump online, they can figure out how to make their choice and join the Zoom meeting, correct?
Correct. You can go online and we have the event up there, and it's a pay what you can. You can pay $1 or you can choose to have the meal. We want everybody to participate. Arts are for everyone. The arts need to be accessible for everyone. And we want everyone to know our plans on how we're going to continue to survive and thrive everything that's happening in our world.
All right, Amber Jo, thank you so much. Thank you for that glimmer of brightness coming from the foothills. I appreciate your time on Insight today.
Thank you so much for having me. And we hope that someday you'll be able to come up to the new Center for the Arts.
I hope so, too. That's Amber Jo Manuel, Executive Director of the Center for the Arts. One more uplift. So this goes back to really Sunday morning after the intense Saturday night protests in downtown Sacramento. Zane Silmy really kind of snapped into action. He's a social media influencer and founder of the People of Sacramento. And he's on the phone with us now. Hi, Zane. Glad to have you on Insight.
Hey, good morning.
So,
thank you very much.
Tell me, after that horrific Saturday night, you woke up and you thought what?
I thought, you know, after a day of protesting and being out there myself, you know, seeing a lot of the peaceful demonstrations and, you know, really pushing what, you know, needed to be done. You know, I've seen that people that We're really just wanting to go out and loot businesses that were not part of the protest, you know, and probably not from Sacramento, just completely demolishing the city that we've, you know, worked so hard to build. And it was more than that. It was, they were small businesses.
So you put out the call to people to come help. Who responded and what happened?
Yeah, so that night, you know, on Twitter, we went into a great discussion, and as things escalated throughout the night, more and more was felt that needed to be done. So I put out the message to pretty much unite our city, bring people together, really show what Sacramento is about. I wanted to have our community and our city, our people, lead by example. You know, I wanted the rest of the nation to really take notice of how Sacramento reacted to, you know, our local businesses of all races being attacked and, you know, and looted. And, you know, that was never, you know, part of the plan. And, you know, it was, we wanted to make sure that Sacramento knew and the world knew that, you know, our city and our people, we got us.
My colleague Bob Moffett was there. He talked about, Zane, the people with brooms and dustpans and cloths and wiping off graffiti. And did more of that happen this morning?
Yeah, so I am actually currently sitting in my car off of L Street, and there is hundreds of people that are filling Midtown, downtown, and, you know, the R Street corridor, you know, because it did reach out to that area where, you know, we wanted to, you know, make sure this morning we came out, you know, in hundreds. You know, last night was a lot worse than the previous night. So, you know, I'm driving down J Street this morning and, you know, seeing, you know, all of the local businesses, delis, restaurants, retail locations that have either been looted or their windows have been broken. So, you know, we really just wanted to come together as a community. There's multiple groups out here. Of course, you have Downtown Sac Partnership and, you know, the city of Sacramento. And, of course, you have your community, the people of Sacramento.
It's hard to put everything that's happening downtown under just the umbrella of protest and counter-protest. Could I get your take on who's doing the smashing into the businesses, the stealing and the damage, and who's just there for the message and the place and time and the purpose?
Yeah, I think it's very important that I make the point that the protest cannot be overshadowed by the destruction of our city. You know, it's something that, you know, we're seeing more and more. And last night we've seen a lot of it where protesters will personally put their body in front of small businesses to protect it from, you know, looters that are in the crowd. So it's been very, very, you know, incredible to see Sacramento and the people coming, you know, together in that way. You know, as they're out here trying to peacefully protest, they're still focused on saving the businesses as much as they can.
So for you, as a person who has been protesting, as a social media influencer, as the founder of the People of Sacramento, the news that the mayor wants to put a curfew in place starting tonight and is considering calling in the National Guard, how does that news strike you?
You know, I would say that it is not a reflection of the protest. You know, I would say that it's a reflection of the aftermath and what happens when you have a part of the crowd that is not on the same agenda, you know, because at the end of the day, this is about police brutality. You know, the mayor has made his points, and I would like to see how other cities have reacted to a curfew. If it does not enrage the community even more, you know, there's of course, you're going to have your pros and your cons. But, you know, at the end of the day, we want what's best for our city, what's best for our community. You know, and what's best for human beings. You know, it's really, at the end of the day, you know, it's good versus evil, right? You know, and, you know, you look at the different people in the world and, you know, you always want to say, you know, how there is, okay, you have your specific people that are pushing, you know, what they believe in. And then you have your people that, you know, are, you know, obviously, doing something that, you know, they believe is right or, you know, or wrong. So it's just interesting, you know, when it all kind of comes down to perspective.
Right. Zane, thank you so much for your time. And I know your work continues downtown. So I wish you safety and peace.
yeah, thank you for having me on. And yeah, we're it's hectic out here, and I appreciate jumping on.
That's Zane Silmi, founder of the People of Sacramento. So you can find more news at capradio.org. We're going to take a break and come back with more conversations with faith leaders. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight continues on Cap Radio.